tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Sword Art Online fans. Welcome to another edition of the Sword Art Online 2 After Buzz Recap Show. Today we are talking about episode 23, The Beginning of a Dream. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing okay.
Good.
Doing okay.
Swell.
We've got a lot going on today. We are streaming live on YouTube for the very first time. Yay. And we've got a couple special treats for everybody who's tuning in. Joining me on the panel tonight, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
Liz Rishmawi.
I'm back.
She's alive. Woohoo!
I'm actually a zombie.
Aw.
Oh, dear God.
That would make for a very different panel. Tari Miller.
Yosha.
Woo! And joining us are two very, very special guests. We have the voice of Asuna, Jeremy Lee.
Hello.
And the voice of Kirito, Bryce Papenbrook.
What's up, everybody?
Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Oh, no, it's a huge pleasure. We know you guys are super busy, so it's an honor to have you both in the studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you for making us look cooler.
You guys don't need any help in that department.
Oh, come on. Seriously.
For those of you who are watching this live and on Twitter, the hashtag to participate in the conversation is SAOABTV.
Yes.
So tweet something with that, and we will be watching Twitter.
We
hashtag responsibly.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Very responsibly.
We have Stephen Lemieux in the booth. He's watching the live chat, and we will be watching the hashtag for Twitter.
Yeah, the random nobody voice you hear is me in the booth. Shout out to Gangajal, Kaiser1492, Inuyasha's on 81, Emmanuel Dominguez, and Mr. Jeffrey Woe, Heroi Burn Castell, man, all these people in the chat, thanks for tuning in.
Cool.
Yay!
So,
yes, thank you guys. And again, we will be keeping an eye on Twitter, so please feel free to tweet your questions to us via the hashtag SAOABTV.
Right now, it's just Megan and me on that hashtag, so we're already talking to each other. So, come on, guys.
You won't be on Twitter.
That's
that
okay.
Side of the table thanks never has reception.
No.
This side of the table always has reception.
Oh, and that's okay. Half the time our phones end up dying anyway.
Yeah, that's great.
Great.
No
big deal.
We're professional here.
We are. Super professional. So I wanted to ask, this is a very different episode. This is probably the most slice of life we've seen in the series. So I wanted to just go ahead and start off this episode by saying, what did you guys think of this episode?
I mean, I'm typically not a slice of life kind of guy. I'm like, if I wanted pieces of life, I'd go live it. But like,
if I wanted pie, I'd be going to a pie place.
Yeah.
It's about that. Can't just choose your flavor.
Slices, it's a pie
now,
thing.
I'm gonna, if I end up at Marie Callender's later, I'm blaming you.
But I'm thinking of pizza, but I'm the New Yorker who calls it a pie, and I confuse people when I order pizza out here.
Okay, well now I'm gonna have pizza and Marie Callender.
Are there places that deliver pie?
No, you say, I've ordered like pie. I'm like, hey, do you have any specials with like soda?
We're going to get the button that says we're off topic.
Yes,
so
we are.
Back to this episode. There is. They have a button in the booth.
Seriously?
That yells at us when we're off topic.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just trying to catch up.
Our sister, is that it?
That a host has wandered off the
subject. I think that's a new record.
That's magical.
Less than 5 minutes.
That is a new record.
We are 4 minutes.
Good
in
to be back.
Wow. I feel like we did
you
that
know Liz
right.
is back when that happens.
Pretty much. Just trying to test the level of ADHD in here.
So, to get back.
I really, really liked it. I've been following along with you guys, even though I haven't been here. And, I mean, the episodes have gotten more intense and a lot more all the feels and everything. Last week, I'm like, Tari's tweeting things about how sad it is. But it was like a good feel-good kind of episode, though it had its, like, sadness behind it. But it was, I really enjoyed it. Especially compared to what we've been through all the time. So
this time last season was not nearly as much fun.
No.
No.
Some of us will never get over that. And by some of this, I mean me. That said, I feel like we could have ended the season on this episode. I feel like it tied up enough loose ends, and the fact that the footage went into the ending, which it usually only does when we are done with the series.
That's usually an indication of, okay, everybody, good show.
And then it was, next episode. Like, oh,
unless
you lied to me.
Well, no, unless, like, Kirito is about to get, like, stabbed or something. He's
no.
Don't say that.
That would be really sad.
Well, that happened last. Yeah.
But All in all, I kind of agree with you. I was really surprised at how neatly this tied everything up.
Yes.
I thought the conflict with Asuna's mother was going to keep going on for at least one more episode, that we would have this slice of life resolution with Yuki in this episode, and that the entire next episode would be this big conflict with her mother. And that got wrapped up. I almost don't know where we're going with
one
the
of them's gonna
episode.
Die.
There's gonna be a drastic turn.
One of them has to be. One of them is going
the
to die.
The webcam is just gonna like give off or fall off. And, like smoke and sparks.
No, what if she got trapped in the webcam and then there's a spinoff series?
You mean Skynet?
Her consciousness is just in there.
That sounds like hell, or a really bad Johnny Depp movie.
Or the ending of a Doctor Who episode.
That happens too.
Beautiful.
That's messed up.
I actually did want to ask you guys, because we had a pretty big discussion on this last week, because we were talking about how there isn't really any big arch villain in this particular arc. And there's also, you know, so there's nobody who needs to be knocked down a peg. And it's also, we also had another kind of different conversation, but I want to speak to the no big bad first. Kind of, since you guys actually work on the show, it's got to be a little different watching this approach to the show.
Yeah, it's really interesting how Sword Art kind of reinvents itself as it goes through the series. I mean, last season we saw this happen, and it's happened a couple times this season, so I kind of like it. I think it's really interesting. I don't think I've ever watched an anime do that before.
Yeah, I think that because we had two major arch-villains last season, that it's nice to have more of the, not internal conflicts, but smaller...
Like, you might actually face this problem in your life.
Right,
you know?
Right. Like, yeah. Which is kind of fun and kind of interesting, and I feel like the sucker punches are coming a different way, that most people are like, oh, that... I'm feeling things, and this is hurtful, and this is kind of real, which is kind of fun. And I'm actually, when I'm watching the episodes, going, oh my gosh, which voice actor would play this? We don't have this character yet. Oh, that would be, and I'm trying to figure out who they're going to be, so I'm, like, very excited. Hopefully we get to do it.
Yeah, I just have to say, if we get to do this, I cannot wait to hear you portray Asuna in this episode.
Oh, I know!
You are going to kill it, no pressure.
Well, yeah.
No pressure at all.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
You're going to kill it, too, in that whole first part where you're like, can you see? Is it focused? All right, I'm out.
Two off-screen lines. I'm ready for those.
Can you please put bloopers in that, like, in that moment?
Oh, yeah.
Just like, I want 40 different options.
Honestly, I want the bloopers that are going to come from the Death Gun arc.
Oh, my God.
That's
going to
be ridiculous.
Guns everywhere and the return of... Yes.
Just wait. I really hope I get to record as a girl. I just have to tell you, like, that's a dream of mine.
Give us your best girl voice.
Don't even ask. His magical girl is amazing.
Please.
It's already come to this. Like, this is a record
for me. This has already happened many times.
To come to the girl's voice.
Now you have to.
I used to prank call girls in middle school. Like, that was my training.
That's
and
awesome.
Beat other girls and trick them.
All right, now we got to hear it.
Yeah, now we got to hear it.
So good.
After Buzz exclusive.
What's the thing that you said? What you loved?
I cannot wait to be a magical girl.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
It's the best.
Exclusive. I'm ready for one of these.
Cheer for me.
You sound like an impression of me when I suck helium out of a balloon.
So good.
Great.
I don't know if we can move on after that.
That's done.
Amazing.
Thank you for joining us
today,
everyone.
In the live stream, you have seen this live. It's wonderful. Yes.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Speechless. I don't know where to go.
This is a common thing. I regularly turn into a girl.
But no, that was actually something that we were talking about, because when we were going through that arc, I was like, I really hope they get the same cast back, because I cannot wait to hear Bryce's yes. impression of a girl.
And now we've heard it, and it is glorious.
And it's going to be great.
Singing up there.
Yeah.
And I can't ever unhear it now.
But now we have to hear Jeremy as a boy.
No, we do. I can't play like a teenage boy, but like a small child.
Let's hear.
Mom, I don't want to go outside.
Yes. Nice.
That's wow. really good.
Yeah. It reminds me.
I play a scrappy boy whenever yeah. I voice a boy.
I like when you tease people in drive-thrus. That's my
favorite. Yeah, I've done that before. But that's usually as a British child.
So basically when it comes to your guys' background and training and experience, it's prank phone calls and pranking drive-thrus.
It's slice of life, which is how we get ready for this episode.
You should just live stream your lives so we can see you messing with the poor people at Taco Bell.
Yeah, I'm just picturing her like, hello, governor. I would like, what is a chalupa?
No, I always forget. Oh, we're off topic.
We got the button again.
It was on topic.
I hate to turn it back to kind of a little bit of a negative note, but the other thing we were talking about last week is kind of this notion of kind of viewer manipulation, because this arc is very much like, here's something really sad and we're going to throw it in your face. And a lot of shows do that these days. A lot of shows, Attack on Titan is one of them,
oh, gosh,
Walking
Frank.
Dead and Game of Thrones, all of these shows are guilty of this.
Beth is dead. Just deal with it.
Spoilers.
Congratulations.
Jesus.
Wait,
really?
What aired over 2 weeks ago?
Oh my God.
Facebook.
Spoilers. Sorry. God.
Just because The Walking Dead's official Facebook page screws it up doesn't mean it's
everywhere. Boo.
Wow.
Anyway, but a lot of shows are guilty of the idea of building up characters specifically to knock them back down by either killing them or throwing something like this at the audience with Yuki. You know, she's a terminally ill AIDS patient.
Yeah.
And
just,
oh, go ahead.
Just because I wasn't here last week, and I just say, like, my first, I'm like, really, AIDS? It's been this long, and we haven't come to that, the cure and everything.
I would figure with the future, it would be some sort of new super disease.
Well, that's what
Super AIDS?
Super AIDS.
Oh, there we go.
Ow. I'm in
trouble. This last episode
what have
just,
I done?
The term was sadness porn.
Yeah.
It's there to make you feel sad, but there's no point to it.
Sadness porn is super AIDS.
I wonder if that kind of stuff is, like you had mentioned, like Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, all the shows that people are just so addicted to and they want to watch it. And when things like that happen, I mean, that kind of stuff's happened in Walking Dead since the beginning, and it hasn't really made anybody go, that's it, we're turning it off. So on some level, I wonder if, because we live in a world now where so much of everything is on Facebook and we can choose what we watch and choose to ignore certain aspects of life. Like it used to be, everybody came home and watched the news every day. Mm-hmm. And everybody was subjected to, this is what's going on in the world. And now people, you don't want to watch the news. You don't want to watch what's on TiVo. You don't have to. So when they're watching things like this, it's kind of forcing people to feel and get in touch with their emotions that they might not always do.
Yeah.
Because they're removed because everybody's on social media or something like
I'm
that.
I'm literally just picturing somebody like watching and be like, what is this leaking from my
eyes? Yeah, exactly. Tears? Like, that was in the episode two. She's like, what an inconvenient world. I was like, that is so accurate for so many people.
They're
like, I don't want people to know that I have feelings. God.
I love that line in general. That was like one of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
Because it was just a line, like, this is my line for life. Like, every time, like, last week I missed the show because I got a flat tire. And I was like, what an inconvenient world. Right before it's about to leave, and I'm just like, text, sadness.
That's going to be the next big hashtag.
Yeah,
I want it on a shirt.
Speaking of the hashtag, we've got someone on Twitter. Daniel Fitzpatrick says, hello, huge fan of both Bryce and Jeremy. I thought the love and connection between Kirito and Asuna felt real.
Oh, fantastic.
That's cool, because we hadn't even met each other.
We did
most of those scenes.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, that's definitely something that we wanted to touch on a little bit, because obviously when voiceover is done for anime, it's one-on-one with a director and just yourself. And sometimes you don't really, most of the time, you don't have anyone to play off of. So what's kind of like the most difficult part about recording, you know, and playing off each other without being physically present?
I think probably whoever records first would be the most difficult.
Yeah, if you're in there second, you have someone to play off of.
And you have the guidance of the director. But if you're the first person to record, which I think you were in that huge cabin arc, you were the first person to record. So it's like, there's nothing, I don't know what she's going to sound like or what's going to happen in this episode vocally for the other characters, so you really have to trust the director.
Exactly, yeah. Keeping it sort of real without having anything come back to you is the challenge. But I think Alex Von David, the director, did an amazing job sort of reeling us back in and keeping that sound, which is very unlike most animes. Again, makes Sword Art kind of stand out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really appreciated that.
I loved that because my background before I started getting into voiceover was film. So when I started doing stage and then voiceover, everyone would be like, oh, it's safer to be bigger and crazier and do all this stuff. And when I would go do film work, they would be like, okay, bring it back down. Less. So then when I went into the booth, Alex was like, oh, yeah, no. This is good. I'm like, this is strange. Yeah, I'm like, it's just my voice, and you want it to be less and real, and that's really cool. It was very different.
That's good. Do you guys leave bombs for each other when you know that they're coming into the booth later on?
He's the king.
The blooper reel says so.
Have you guys seen the blooper reel?
There are some bombs that don't even make the blooper reel. They're that bad.
Wow.
Yes. I just try to think of the most disgusting thing possible to try to get the people in the other room to laugh. And that's what I leave there.
But they save the track. And I don't know if it happens so much for this show, but when I'll work on shows at Funimation, there will be sometimes that the engineer will go, oh, that's really inappropriate, and this is an emotional scene. This will make them break. I should remove this before we play the beeps for them. And sometimes they forget. So they'll go, sorry, I meant to take that out, but it's done now. So,
and you're sitting in the booth crying with laughter.
Yeah, and then you go, sorry, let me be serious. And then you could still hear the other actor saying what they just said, which was inappropriate, and that never goes away.
Or the laughing through the soundproof glass, while the other room is dying.
I was going to say, for those of you who haven't seen it, the Sword Art Online blooper reel is hysterical, not at all appropriate.
No, it's hysterical. Jokes are my favorite.
I apologize in advance.
You're not sorry for anything.
No.
Wait, where do you find these bloopers?
YouTube.
Oh, well.
They showed them at Anime
and I believe
Expo
they're on the DVDs as well, correct?
Sometimes. I think some were too bad for the TV.
there's some behind the scenes where they did like they interviewed us of what it was like working on the show and how we are like in the booth. And that was when I chose to make a blooper reel and acting like Bryce didn't respect me as an actor and wouldn't let me finish my lines. And so we weren't supposed to do that. I just thought I would mess with the producer. And then she goes, yeah, we're keeping that. I was like, oh, can I actually do like a serious one so I don't look crazy? And they said, we'll tell Bryce so Bryce can do it too. They didn't tell Bryce.
They never told me.
So
I saw it after.
Oh, no.
I'm just like, I wasn't messing with her.
So I'm just picturing him being like, yeah, she's just such a great person, great energy to work with. And then they show her and he's like, he's such a jerk.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I can't deal with this. Bryce doesn't respect me as an actor. And then it cuts to Bryce and he's like, yeah, working with Jeremy's great. And I'm like, I was like, oh, man.
I feel like this is something I need to see now.
Yeah.
Just to round out my blooper reel experience.
Perfect.
With the show.
Clearly, we're very serious people.
Of course.
Very much so.
If you're going to voice anime, you have to be serious.
Oh, yes. Method actors all the way.
As she said that, I just heard his, you know, magical girl voice in my head.
Cheer for me, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
I figure out how you method act Aaron Yeager.
Actually, I kind of did a little method acting. I bit my hand.
No.
Left bruises on there. No big deal.
I really don't. I don't think Aaron is the best person to be
He couldn't use method actor for a week.
I feel like
through the trees screaming.
I feel like there would be a lot of bodies involved if you were a method actor for Aaron.
I actually just imagined him getting his friends to stand on each other's shoulders to act like Titans. Guys, giants. You need to be giants.
I need you to be in the booth with me. Actually, and then as they're moving, you're like, stop, guys, they can hear that. Please, keep it together.
Mike McFarlane and the engineer actually did that. That helped me a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
He would get a bunch of people at a Wallace session and stack them on top of each other.
Yes!
Hashtag angry German.
I love that.
And everyone who watches the Attack on Titan panel is like, the hashtag is back!
Yeah. That's my theme song when I'm out in traffic.
Oh, mine too.
Perfect.
It's too epic of a song to play when you're stuck in your car and can't go anywhere.
It's the anger. It's revving.
Okay. We're going to set a record for the number of times that button has gone off.
Count
okay,
it.
I'm ready to say. We're at three.
Okay. Viewers, take a shot every time the button goes off. We're adding this to the Shonen protagonist game. There you go.
Okay, to get back to the episode, because we barely talked. We haven't started. But this episode starts off with Asuna basically using the device that Kirito had been setting up to help Yui see the world. They're using that so that Yuki can attend a day at school. And again, it's a very kind of slice of life moment where it's just going to class and introducing yourself to people and getting called on unexpectedly. So it really is a high school experience.
Popcorn reading. It's the worst.
It is the worst.
Yeah. And then the really subtle, can you read this? Oh. Good job.
I was like, wow. So you just found out that she has AIDS and then we're going to go into, like, is this going to be like, oh, she can't read? I was really concerned. Like, she was like, can you read? I'm like, let's not do a literacy commercial in this episode, please. I can't handle it.
I thought it was really cute, though, how, like, everybody reacted to, like, nobody would seem to be fazed. Like, this is Yuki and she's in a hospital, and because everybody's had this experience with, like, being in the game, they're like, oh, hey, what's going on? I love your, like, metal thing, how it matches with your thing. And it was
do you
really
like
cute.
Soccer?
That was my favorite.
Yeah, that was a good line.
But do you like soccer? I'm like, you know what?
She's in the hospital.
Is not going to play soccer with a weapon. That's not safe.
She could watch it on television.
You know.
She plays soccer in the virtual reality
world. I just thought it was really kind of cute because it's basically like walking around and FaceTiming your entire day with somebody at school, only, you know, with a webcam that kind of sticks to your shoulder as opposed to a cell phone.
I keep thinking of that character from Scream 4 who was continually live streaming his everything.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Oh, God.
The one who didn't matter.
It doesn't. Yeah, it didn't matter. He died. It was.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, Scream 4 has been out for years, and we've been telling people to watch Scream for months.
We've been telling people that they need to watch Scream because the first arc of SAO2 is basically like Scream, only in SAO.
Spoiler alert.
Whoops. Yeah. Oh. Sorry, guys.
Well, if you've been following the series and watching this after show, you know already.
And if you weren't here for the share of me,
just say which Scream. Which one? There's
there
a couple.
There are four of them. So. There are four of them. And only three of them are good. You can skip three altogether.
Hey.
But anyway, to get kind of back to this one, I actually did find it really touching just at the very last moment in that scene is you can actually see Yuki in the school uniform standing and reading. And I thought that was a very lovely touch.
Yeah.
It was very sweet. But after that, you know, Asuna essentially takes Yui on like a little walk around town, and Yui only has one, or Yuki. Yui is not here.
We're so used to Yui being the little virtual angel on the shoulder that it's like, oh, there's someone else in the pod.
But yeah, so Yuki only wants to go to one place in particular, and it's her old house, which is probably going to be torn down soon to make way for a convenience store. It's just more on top of everything else because it's like, you know, her family's gone, her house is going to be torn down, she's you know, she's terminally ill. There's
her
not
dog
really
died.
There's not much rough. Else you can just throw at this poor girl.
You just hope for a happy ending, but I don't know.
Steve, you're just having fun with that soundboard.
Yeah,
really
I
is.
Love it. I'm going to turn this into the game show. That okay. sounds awesome. But it's very, you know, again, this is kind of what we were talking about. It's like you're being really thick with everything that you're lying on here. But it was a lot. It was actually some really good dialogue what yeah. we get out of this scene, and it's very touching. And Asuna herself takes a lot out of this conversation because she's still having problems connecting with her mom. And what I thought was going to amount to be a big fight actually kind of panned out very, very differently.
I also like, real quick, going back to the whole scene with them in front of the house, the whole thing, like, well, let's get married. But if I marry you, you know, I can't, you know, I have to be the husband because I can't be Yuki Yuki.
That would just, yeah. that would just confuse people. Yeah.
It was adorable.
But it would be a good, like, J-pop name.
Yuki Yuki. Yuki yeah. squared.
The other right. phrase I oh. really liked from that was yeah. Yuki warning Asuna to watch out for Kirito because he's also living in a very different world.
Yes.
Just not in the same way she is.
I thought that was a really funny line, actually. It's like,
she's
yeah.
not wrong.
Yeah.
She's not
but they
wrong.
Were laughing
Kirito
about it.
Has one foot in virtual reality the whole time.
But I think it was played up a little bit more for laughs
yeah.
than it was drama.
Like they
yeah.
were they were giggling and stuff. Like, ha, you have a terrible boyfriend. No, really. 80s laugh. Yeah. So, I yeah, but the whole scene going into with their mom and everything and how to take her, like, please, you know, but that whole scene where she's like, are you crazy? Like,
yeah.
You were stuck in that for 2 years. You want me to put that on my head?
And it's fair enough, but I really liked that Yuki had, you know, this story about her own mother, and that she was kind of resentful for the way her mom kind of treated the situation because she was like, because the words didn't make sense when she was a kid. But looking back on it now, she's like, oh, you know, the words themselves didn't really matter. It was the feelings.
Yeah.
Her mother
yeah.
wanted the best for them in this terrible, terrible situation. And that was what was important.
Yeah, I think the line was more like she couldn't understand why her mother kept quoting Bible. She's like, I just wanted my mom to talk to me
yeah.
and not keep on quoting from something else. But then I realized that was just her best way to portray her feeling through those words.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was.
So as long as the feeling gets through,
yeah.
you're good.
Yeah,
exactly.
She didn't feel like her own words were sufficient, so she looked to a higher power to convey them.
Yeah.
Aw.
Aw.
Somebody who's better with
so
a pen.
So emotional.
Yeah. And that's kind of what Asuna takes from this, is that even though her mom isn't necessarily listening, it comes from a place of love. It comes from wanting the best for your daughter. And we did talk a little bit how it's probably a little bit selfish as well. But ultimately, her mother cares about her. And that's the key to sort of reaching her and to reaching an understanding,
mm-hmm.
which is what we get into next. But before we go on, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so, so much for going to iTunes and commenting, leaving questions. It really means the world when we go to iTunes and we see reviews. It really does. It warms our hearts, and it's how we're able to get sponsors to keep the lights on. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Katie. It's how we're able to get guests. It's how we're able to get the wonderful guests that we have today. And also, it just makes our day. And we love hearing from you guys on YouTube as well. Anything that lets our bosses know that this is the show that you want to be seeing.
We need to know.
It's true. They put on over 80 hours of content a week, which means
we never sleep.
They really don't. It's so sad.
Booth guy does not sleep.
Steven is only pressing those buttons half to because for amusement, half to keep himself
we
awake.
We eat socks and drink bong water.
It's actually his face hitting the board.
He's not even a real person. That's why we can't see him.
He lives in the virtual
yep.
world. It's really tough.
So meta.
But,
okay.
So the best way of being able to let our bosses know that you like this show is going to iTunes still. But that being said, we still love the YouTube comments, and of course you can tweet at us anytime.
SAOABTV, that's the tweet right now for the live stream.
Yep, don't miss
the thing.
Yeah, don't miss your opportunity. We're keeping an eye on it.
I kind of have reception.
More or less. Better.
Life is sometimes convenient.
I'll do a question from the chat real quick.
Go right ahead.
All right. Soul Leader 4561 says, at AfterBuzz TV, I got a question for both Bryce and Sheremy.
I say,
if Kirito and Asuna were to compete with each other in a street race, which car would you two use and who will win?
Nice.
Wow. I picked the best on-topic question.
Are we going to have to use the button on the chat?
Use it on yourself, Steven.
Oh, what do you think?
Which car?
I don't know. I think Kirito would pick a Ferrari and then would lose on purpose because he didn't want to get beat up.
He'll blame it that he doesn't drive manual.
Yeah. Since I have such a crazy amount of car knowledge.
It could be any car.
Nissan Altima.
You know what? Because I'm fascinated by Teslas. I will pick a Tesla.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm fascinated by those cars. I don't know why.
They're wonderful.
Because they don't make noise.
They'll be flying anywhere.
All right. And another question. James Smith asks, who would your dream voice actor to be to play Death Gun?
Oh.
I say James Earl Jones.
He does look a little Darth Vader-ish. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God! No, Morgan Freeman.
Roger Jackson, the voice of
Morgan
God.
Morgan Freeman. There we go.
No,
Morgan
do Freeman. Roger Jackson so that it actually is Ghostface. That's what I want.
Yes. Yes.
But the question was for you.
Yeah. Sorry. We all just jumped in on that. Excited. Sorry.
I'm not sure. That's a tough one.
Because I'm trying to think of like a voice actor that we think it might actually. I mean, it would be awesome if Morgan Freeman.
Crispin Freeman doing his a la carte voice.
Okay.
That could That'd be awesome.
That would be terrifying.
Could be terrifying.
I'm just thinking like Shawshank Redemption being red like, and then I watched him as Andy walked across, and I was like, I'm going to kill you with this gun.
Or you guys could do it, and then just do a little bit of voice modulating, and
perfect.
Boom.
There you go. Me doing a girl's voice, make it really deep.
I'll do my scrappy little boy voice, and we'll just mix them
to
the opposite,
match them together.
And then... Perfect.
Death gun.
There we go.
That sounds like a disaster, but I'm in favor.
Well, Death Gun was kind of a disaster, so
there you go. You hear that, casting guys? These guys are Death Gun. That's the way to go.
Everyone is Death Gun. You're Death Gun. I'm Death Gun. We're all Everybody. Death Gun.
Well, there are two of them, so there
That's
you go.
That's true.
Asada-san. No, we're going to stop with
you're
that.
Done. You're done.
Use you go button, to the corner.
Use the button on yourself. I'm waiting.
Our systems detect that.
Is that five?
Yeah, that's five. Wow. Okay, so to get back to the episode.
All of our viewers are just going
to
be...
I don't know what to do here. To get back to the episode, Asuna does approach her mom and basically is like, can I talk to you for a couple minutes? But I can't talk here. The only place I can talk to you about what I want to talk to you about is in the virtual world. That's the only way that I can communicate what I'm feeling right now. And her mom, as you pointed out, Liz, was just like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. If you can't tell me face to face, then there's really no point. Like, there's nothing you can't communicate right here and now. And Asuna entreats her, and so
I want you to see my world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was her way of putting
it. This is my Bible, so please put it on. Wait.
That's not quite it. But
does it work like that? What?
I don't know. Just put it on your head.
I don't think we're on the same wavelength today.
No,
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
That's not how reading works.
Joseph had a Technicolor dream coat. Why can't she?
Also not really relevant. I don't want to get the button again. So anyway...
What?
I don't want the button again. Let's move on.
It was like the one to Yuki's mom with the quotes.
Yes.
That's what it was. God, guys.
Oh. Okay.
Point being.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes a little bit more sense. Yeah, but anyway.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but going into it, though, can I just say that I know the whole thing was supposed to be very serious, and we do get that build up into why she needed to take her there, which we're going to get into. But I love the whole thing about the mom being 90 pounds. And
I did
that
too.
Off with the weight. How rude. And they're just talking about their faces and just like, I'm really happy that in all the seriousness of this episode, we still get little quirks like that, even between the mother and her, which you would never think the mother would to be like a joking kind of person.
Yeah. They can throw in a little levity there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You need the
levity. I was going to say, I think with this episode, every moment that we got of that, it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, every little throwaway joke was very much welcomed and needed.
Yeah.
Especially after last week. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But so they do go into the virtual world, and this was the whole point of mentioning Asuna's sub account a couple episodes ago, because I was actually thinking about that prior to this episode. I was like, that was something that went absolutely nowhere, because they mentioned that there's a possibility that you can have an alternate account when you have something set up for ALO. And Asuna mentioned that she had one, and then absolutely nothing came of that. So it was nice to actually see that called back. And I actually need to say, Tari, have you read the light novels?
I have not.
For this particular?
Not for this arc.
Okay, good. Because I was about to throw you off the panel. Because this is like the third prediction in a row that you've made correctly. I was getting ready to toss you out.
I'm sorry. I'm just here for the lulls.
Stop Tari being Miller. Right.
Tari Miller is no longer available.
Last time they cut off my mic. That was fun.
I got a question from the chat roll.
All right.
Peter Aguilar says, how does it feel to record for this show since your brother and sister?
They're all like, what?
I know, they're very confused.
You didn't know we were related?
Yeah. We didn't know we were related.
The different last names was threw me off a little.
That threw you off a little bit?
You can never go by last names in the business industry.
The business industry.
Entertainment, I'm tired.
No, we found out we were related at a convention. There was a fan that came up and very, I'm trying to find the right word to say it. Yeah, very enthusiastically reinforced multiple times that Bryce and I are, in fact, brother and sister. I tried to say, I mean, I guess we're like brother and sister. And she goes, no, you are. And just became increasingly more excited.
Huh.
And so I just went to the panel, and I saw her at the panel. And so I was like, by the way, Bryce, we're brother and sister. Just go with it. Because I didn't know how she was going to respond. But now, since then, we'll go to conventions and people are like, yeah, you guys are related. And we're like, you know what?
So wait, there was no background to her saying or explaining, like, no, I went on Ancestry.com and
no,
I looked you guys
no,
up.
No, she literally just, I was on my way to a panel. And she came up and she's like, so I think it's so crazy that you and Bryce are related. I was like, that's so creepy but awesome. So, yeah.
The Lannisters send their regards.
So yeah, it's great working on Sword Art Online
girl.
With my sibling.
Matching my roots right now.
I'm breathing, but it's glorious.
You are completely red. It's ridiculous.
It's been a very long week.
It's always nice when you find family, I guess,
getting to spend
time with family.
Absolutely.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Discovering a brother you didn't even know you had.
I know. Yeah. I had no idea.
I thought I was an only child until that convention, so.
My whole life I've wanted a sibling.
Well, you know,
you could say it was quite unconventional.
You could say they'd been conned.
I made it very clear about my feelings
really
of pine gun.
Why do you think I keep making them? Also, Twitter, seriously, you haven't asked any questions. What's up?
Yeah.
You know,
seriously,
hashtag,
guys, get it together.
Hashtag. When I said hashtag responsibly, I revoke it.
Maybe, you know,
hashtag
you said
as you will.
You know, said it so intimidatingly, like, no, seriously, you
no,
guys.
No, seriously, if you misuse the hashtag, we're taking away your account.
We got one from a Colin Black. He says, what's been your favorite episode this season?
This one.
This is your favorite?
Yeah, this most recent one. I really am excited about it.
Yeah, it's so different.
It's
but
so different.
At the same time, it's very, very touching, very emotional, and very grounded.
Yeah, and it honestly felt like very cinematic and very live-action film-related, which I was like, man, I hope I get to do this. This would be so much fun to do, this episode.
Yeah, this
scene with her mom was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very touching.
I love the bunnies.
I know!
And they're still looking
fast.
At them going,
so cute.
Raindrop.
Yeah, right?
They're so fat with the skinniest ears I've ever seen.
What's wrong with your ears so fat? What are you eating? How do you find carrots out in this cold
wilderness? But that was the rabbit. That was their first meal to get.
That was the rare rabbit from SAO that Kirito caught and then had Asuna cook.
The rabbit?
Yeah!
And there were two? Oh.
Not so rare anymore.
No, it's sick because you're
it's common in ALS.
Oh, got it.
Well, that's the thing with rabbits. You know, they're going to be more of them eventually. Well,
it has been a while.
The one caught was pink, so maybe it was shiny.
There you go.
Which one's your...
Our system's detected.
Stop
so,
it.
Yes.
That was on topic.
Yeah, we're still on topic. Wait a second. That's six, right? Yeah,
you know what? Six. We're not counting that six. One, though. We were good. We were
five
good.
And a half.
I mean, the people that are playing the drinking game are probably like, oh, we're not counting it. It's already done. Bye. Sorry.
To keep up with the other drinking game, Shonen protagonist.
So, Bryce, what was your favorite episode so far from this season?
I think one of the action episodes in Gun Gale, like, I just wanted Kirito to cut a bullet in half.
And like, he did.
And he did. And I was like, yes! Yes!
You get this really awesome, intense excitement. Like, your eyebrows are like, yes! Like, you just skip like a kid like that just saw something explode. It's like, great.
Well, and even a couple episodes ago, we had a lot of commenters on the after show who were like, Kirito cutting spells in half is like their new favorite thing.
Yeah.
They're slower than bullets. Hey. No big deal.
He keeps bringing knives to gunfights and winning.
Exactly.
But it's kind of his thing. Well, how would he be with a gun?
Shonen protagonist.
Awful?
We've seen how he is with a gun. Say. He's pretty mediocre.
Okay.
Yeah. I like to imagine him having a gun that's way too big and then flying backwards every time it shoots.
I actually just picture him with like one of those old muskets from like the, you know, like back in revolutionary times, and it has the little knife thing on it, so all
yeah.
of it
ends
it.
Yeah.
Like he never even bothers with the gun. He's just like, yeah.
That
just
would using be a fantastic. Why didn't that happen?
Well, I do like that we do get a little bit of him with a gun in Gun Gale Online, and he's really resentful because it's not his thing, and he doesn't pick up on it, and he is second to Sinon, and so it's like, yeah, I'm not using this anymore. It's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, I feel like practice makes perfect, and if he isn't willing to try and get better, he's not gonna.
Well, that's the thing, is if he isn't a master at something right away, he's like, whatever.
He's one of those type A kids who was really yeah. told that he was good at stuff, and then when he's not good at stuff, he gives up. Yeah.
Isn't he better at cooking now, though? Like, a couple episodes, did he cook that meal?
You're welcome. I really believe Asuna had to do with that.
Beat it into his head.
You're
like,
welcome.
Hey. Yeah. You know he got Agil to do it.
Yeah.
Like, he actually just ran to the bar and like paid him. Thank you. Like that scene from like Mrs. Doubtfire where he orders two.
Catering. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's just that's what he did. Yeah.
Can we get like Agil food truck? Like that would be the best thing in a convention ever.
The little dicey
Agil and Asuna's food truck.
You guys, I'm so hungry.
Somebody
right now.
At a convention, get on that, please.
With little like rabbit shaped rice cake.
Yes.
With the long ears.
Would be so good.
I just keep thinking because, like, for this, like, I came in here hungry. So this entire episode we've mentioned so far, you know,
pizza,
about him cooking,
pie,
pizza, cooking, pie, rabbit. And then also when we were talking about, like, you know, we're having a sad moment about, oh man, they're gonna like knock down that house for a convenience,
put a convenience store.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh god, the convenience stores in Japan were so awesome. They had so much food. Like, that's what I'm thinking.
What am I gonna buy at that convenience store?
They need to hurry up and tear it down now. I'm really hungry.
Yeah.
But like,
where about your nostalgia?
Like, that was in the middle of all of the houses, like the zoning. Do they not have? Like I'm sitting there going, really?
Well,
too.
She said or. Uh-huh. She said she's the aunt either wants to sell it or turn it to a convenience store.
More
which
like
kind
of
they fit 7-Elevens in the middle of nowhere.
I'm just trying to think. Like if somebody was like, oh, we're gonna put a convenience store in my parents' neighborhood, I would be like, what person is gonna be like, yeah, put it next to my house?
Especially because it's a residential area, like at the top of a hill.
Yeah.
Who goes to the top of the hill to go
She's
to the
like,
store?
Me.
No, well me too, but I'm just saying a month ago I came back from Japan and you would be shocked at how well they use everywhere. Like I went to Kyoto, Tokyo, Osaka.
Cool.
And like, oh god, I'm so hungry. But they would have alleyways where here in LA, this is where I get stabbed. But the alleys
Perfect.
There are like literally like you turn an alley and like this looks creepy and all of a sudden it's like bright lights and look there's pachinko and there's a convenience store. Yeah. There's somebody's house. So you would be surprised
Weird.
At like how it,
okay.
it would fit
Space
at the top
efficiency.
Of the hill. Because you think they're going to be thirsty when they get to the top of the hill.
Well,
they should buy some.
Yeah.
Stabbing.
Yeah. I understand.
Buy some
yeah. less stabbing.
Marketing.
That's how it works.
What?
Locate. The more you know. Location, location, location.
You know what? I'm going to end out on that because I've had too many of the off topics, and now
to get back before we get yelled at again. We have this moment of Asana's mother joining her in the virtual world with her sub account, and we get this very sweet anecdote about when Asana visited her grandparents on her own one winter, it looked like, and while the rest of her family was away, and tiny Asana is just adorable.
I know.
In Japan, your hair is always short when you're tiny, and then it grows
out. And then
out.
It goes longer and longer as you grow
they
older.
They don't believe in haircuts in anime.
Understandably so.
Or when you do, it's like a big thing.
Yeah. But it's a coming of age, take the knife,
Anyway, so it was this really sweet scene because it was a moment of reflecting on her Asana's grandparents talking about her mother and how they want the best for her and how they're very proud of the woman that she's become, which is, you know, they knew kind of when to take a step back because their daughter is making a name for herself. And Asana's mother, though wanting the same thing for her daughter, is kind of going about it in the wrong way. Because she's being a little bit more domineering about it and being less understanding and being less open.
Yeah.
But this story, it's so touching that it opens up her heart a little bit, and she does. She just completely starts crying because apparently in this world you can't keep from crying, which is terrible.
No. I would not do well there.
I like it, though, because it's like, again, we're having this whole slice of life thing with life and how you're going about doing things the wrong way. It's like, you know, life lesson most parents, good parents, everybody wants what's best for their kid, but you're not always going to, you always want to have some sort of control over it, and that's never going to be, like, the end-all way to do it. So, you know, that whole thing, and I'm like, I just want to hug her grandpa.
Yeah, and right? What you think is best for your kid may not always be what's actually best for them because you're coloring it with your wants and desires and your life experiences.
Exactly.
She always wanted to be better than she thought she was, better than she thought her family and her origins were, and so she wants that for Asana, despite the fact that Asana really doesn't care about that and just wants to be the rock that other people build their houses on. That's what she wants to be. Which is why... I was a little confused as to why she switched classes from essentially rogue to healer when we got into ALO. And knowing this about her makes so much more sense. When she has the option to be in the back and supporting people, she'll go for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll only step out into the front when she needs to.
Yeah.
When people aren't getting stuff done and she needs to do it.
Like, step
okay,
aside,
the
people.
Lightning flashes back. Come on, guys. Really?
Which, I mean, and I think also a parent will say, well, because I know what happened to me and this was a mistake I made, I don't want my kids to make the same mistakes, which is all well and good, but if they don't make the mistakes at all, then they're very sheltered and they're not a full human being.
Exactly.
They're terrified. They don't get to grow. That's parents have to take a step back and kind of let their kid.
Well, not to mention the fact
crash
that
and burn.
That's only half your DNA. The other half of the DNA could have totally screwed it up. And, like, that kid's going to go about it an entirely different way, even though it's a similar situation.
Well, I was actually thinking a little bit, it might also be a little bit of overcompensation because her daughter was gone for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, she's...
We forget.
Wanting to kind of make up for, you know, maybe allowing her daughter to have a little bit too much freedom was what caused her to go into a coma for 2 years. And having never been in the virtual world before this moment, you know, it's just your daughter was in a coma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the fear of losing her, I'm sure, makes her want to hold on to her that much tighter because she thought she was going to be gone.
And now she's an entirely different person that she's come out because she spent 2 years with completely different world experiences that no one outside of SAO can really understand.
She also spent 2 years being herself and not worrying about what her parents wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very different than the life she lives IRL.
I'm just laughing at the whole idea of like giving her too much freedom. Like, yeah, I let you walk into your room and you didn't come out. So not letting that happen.
This is
again.
On me. I blame myself.
See, now should parents ever ground their children if that device is available?
Well, that's like in general.
You take the device away.
Yeah.
Well, some parents will just be like, you know, go to your room.
I'm like, okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me take all of the things out of your room. Now go to your room.
My mom would actually just phone. Go to my room instead, and I would be stuck, like, in the living room because she was like, I don't have the patience to unplug this.
Yeah. See, but now how much have times changed that it used to be like, no, you can't play outside. Whereas now I feel like some parents might go, you know what, just go sit outside. And they'd be like, Mom, they don't know how to play.
I have a vitamin D deficiency, if that says anything. Okay.
What, like myself?
Like, I did.
I just,
oh, no.
There's water everywhere.
Oh, no.
That's never going to come out.
It's not. Out of the black. Like,
what?
Just saying.
Well, we are running a little bit short on time. And
you want to take some chat roll questions?
Sure, if they're available.
Right. I got a few of them. One's from Yang Xiaolong, wants to know.
Good pronunciation.
Nice name.
Wow.
Yeah, they're fans of the Ruby After Show, of course, too. They want to know, is it easier for you guys to record in a session solo or with a group of people or with another person next to you?
Easier or more time efficient?
I mean,
way more fun to record
with
people.
Do you prefer other people or solo?
They're both good, I guess.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're with a group, it's hard to focus because people are funny. And you just don't want to.
This panel.
Yeah. Exhibit A. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also easier to record separately because oftentimes our schedules are so different that, I mean, you were in Australia for a convention, like, 2 weeks ago, so if we had to record together and we were working on a project, we'd be like, well, you can't work for 2 weeks, and then it's like, well, I'm going to Texas next week, so it makes it very difficult to record stuff that way, but it is always fun to get to see other human beings.
To not be a crazy person screaming in a soundproof room.
Yeah.
All right.
Have you ever passed out from screaming in the booth?
Never passed out, but I've
gotten dizzy.
Yeah, I've touched the ground. Like, oh.
All right.
No, I'm just remembering the Dragon Ball Z actors talking about how they'd be screaming in the booth and then they'd pass out because DBZ asked for the
extent. We got a few more questions. Yeah. Steven?
Okay, let's see here. Lad Russo 91 says, my question is, who's the cute guy in the green shirt?
I guess that would be you, right?
You mean our special guest?
You mean Bryce Papenbrock?
All right, let's
you mean Carrie Toe?
Did you wink at the camera? Please wink at the camera.
I can't wink. I wish I could.
Do one of these.
Mr. Jeffrey Chu says, do you think you make any minor changes to the voices for season 2 to show the maturity level growth of Asuna and Kirito?
Oh, cool.
I'm sure we probably will. I mean, that's usually we talk to the director and say, like, where do you think this goes, and talk with the producers and what they've heard from the Japanese counterparts. But I would like to, just because they've grown and changed. And
yeah, I think I'm going to go the opposite way and just make him a girl.
Okay. That's a good choice.
Even when he's not.
Even when he's not a girl, yeah.
I approve.
He's a female always. Now.
All right, last question. I've been trying to avoid the hypotheticals because they kind of take us off topic.
We live there, Steven. We live there.
What is off topic?
All right, so
is there a topic?
Yeah.
If you guys were to get a crossover with any other anime with doing the voices of Kirito and Asuna, what other anime would you like to do? Like, crossover, like, you know how Arrow did the Arrow Flash thing?
Okay.
Like, if it was Sword Art, Inuyasha, Sword Art, Dragon Ball, like, what would you want to do?
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
I just imagined Sword Art and Inuyasha and went, no.
That's a no.
Sword Art Fairy Tale would be so confusing. Because we've done those panels before where they have all of our voices, like, talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how similar Asuna and Lucy were, that I would have just, I went a little crazy.
Doesn't Todd do like 18 voices?
Yeah,
SwordArt.hack.
There we go.
Ooh, yeah, that's
that
perfect.
Work.
Everyone's stuck in the game.
What was that show, God, the 3D animation, the blue guy?
Reboot.
Reboot!
Not an anime, cool. But still.
No. Not a good show either.
Hey, it's a great show.
we're out of time, guys.
All right, well, hate to wrap it up, but because you guys have been so wonderful, and I wish we had more time here in the studio. Before we wrap it up, do you guys have any other questions?
Oh, good Lord.
many questions.
I think they've mostly been answered. Do you have any upcoming projects you'd like to tell us about? Anything that isn't covered by an NDA?
Yeah.
See, that's the real question.
I worked on Final Fantasy Type-Zero, cool. which comes out next year, and I play Makina Kunigiri.
Nice.
He has, like, these drill bit blades. That's going to be awesome.
Like you should.
Again with your blades.
Yeah. I like to play guys that have swords.
You are the shonen like protagonist.
That's true.
Yeah, you are.
I guess Fairy Tail, we're always working on more Fairy Tail. And Psychopass, I'm working on Psychopass, which is, I guess, streaming on Funimation. We're doing, like, a simulcast, so we're doing, like, one episode a week, which has been crazy.
Nice.
But, yeah, that's been very fun. And then an animated film that I did called Ribbit with Sean Astin and Tim Curry.
Aww.
That is out now on DVD and on iTunes and such.
So I have to ask just really quick, Tim Curry... did you get to, was it recorded separately or did you get to?
It was recorded separately.
No! Yeah.
I met Sean Astin though, which was
That's
very
awesome.
Cool. So that was fun.
Awesome.
Nice.
I met a hobbit.
Yay!
Yay!
Well, where can people go if they want to find out more about you guys and about the work that you're doing?
I'm on Twitter, at Jeremy Lee, and on Instagram as well, and Facebook, and all of those. Normal places.
Yeah, and I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Bryce Papenbrook, and then Facebook at actor Bryce Papenbrook.
Ooh, fancy.
Nice. Katie Cullen, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on the Arrow panel, which is on its mid-season hiatus, and the Doctor Who Classics panel.
Liz.
Hey, guys. Good to be back. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lizzie Maui. That's at LizzyMawy. You can also check me out on the Legend of Korra panel. And coming up some new... I'll tweet it later because it's too much to remember. The new season, Helix, and a whole bunch of stuff is coming back. So
nice.
Cool. Tari.
You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. And on Facebook at Facebook.com/TariJMiller. That's J-A-Y.
Cool. Steven.
Oh, you were going to actually call to me. Hey, you can find me,
you can
find me as the voice of reason on this podcast, well as on Twitter, at Stephen Lemieux, STPHENLEMIUX, as well as doing the up-and-coming Marco Polo after show, and actually Sons of Anarchy is over, so I don't even know where else I am. Sleepy Hollow when that comes back.
Yay! And thank you again. And you can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, which Agent Carter is coming up. I'm super excited about that. And Ascension this week. So please tune in for that. Thank you so
thank
much again
you.
To the wonderful, wonderful guests. You guys are so
really fun,
awesome. Yeah. Thank you to the one fan who used the hashtag. You rock.
Hashtag.
Daniel Fitzpatrick. Thank you, Daniel Fitzpatrick.
Well done.
And thank you to everybody who participated in the first SAO YouTube live stream. That is just so cool.
Success.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys again. We will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.